World Series coming up on Friday evening. Game one, Toronto Blue Jays hosting Los Angeles Dodgers. We're taking a look at each side of the World Series, and we are joined by Braden Owosco from Locked On Blue Jays. Braden talked with us before the season, and he predicted the Blue Jays-Dodgers in the World Series, didn't you, Braden?
I would love to take credit for that one, but not my wildest dreams that I expect this.
Yeah, well, how about that? How about the season just as a whole? You're documenting it with Locked On Blue Jays pretty much every single day. It is every single day, actually. Your first listen of the day, really. And, Braden, when it comes to this season as a whole, when did you start to believe that this was a possibility?
Yeah, so we were actually just thinking back to this the other day. Me and my co-host Carter, we were just chatting on the couch. And we were trying to pinpoint it. And it was around the 10-game win streak. I was actually out in New York at the time. And I was popping on from New York. And it ended up being like some crazy late nights because a little bit of the time difference when we were able to record the episodes. It was just a whirlwind. And I got on, I think, the Friday night. And I'm like, this team just feels different. And so we did a whole episode on, you know, is this team going to make a dent in the playoffs? And so it was right around then, that's when sort of the belief started to come into the two of us anyway. And then you started to see the fans after that being like, oh, okay, this team is good. Oh, what's happening? Oh, they're making moves at the deadline. Oh, wow, they're making, you know, they get Shane Bieber. They're getting ready. The AL East isn't that strong. The AL in general isn't that strong. This team's got a chance. Oh, this team scores a ton of runs in different ways. This is it was a crazy turn of events there around that time. Because I think before that, everybody was sort of waiting for the shoe to drop and the team to fall off, but it just never really happened.
Yeah, awesome. Well, certainly the apex moment, or maybe the moment of the year, came, of course, in the ALCS Game 7 there with George Springer's go-ahead home run. I guess maybe not necessarily take us through that, but just take us through the ups and downs of that series, losing the first two games at home, getting the next two at Seattle. Then you're facing elimination after Seattle wins Game 5 and finding a way to win Game 6 and Game 7 and just getting the thing done. I mean, that had to be a roller coaster of a series, especially when you look back, about 10, 11 years ago when how close they were previously.
Yeah, you know what? That series was just wild because at multiple different points throughout that, you started to see the fan base shift a little bit and everybody started to doubt this team. And all season, that's sort of been the storyline, is something happens, the fans start to doubt the team. And then the Jays prove everybody wrong. They prove everybody that, when they get punched in the mouth, they don't crumble. They punch right back. And that's exactly what happened after the first two games, right? Vladimir Guerrero Jr. absolutely disappeared for the first two games of the ALCS. And everybody's like, oh, my goodness. Okay, he could only perform against the Yankees. He wasn't going to do anything. And then the next two games happened. And Vladimir Guerrero Jr. reappeared. And this whole team seemed to reappear behind him. And then it's 2-2, and then everybody's like, okay, we got a chance, this could happen. And then again, Game 5 happens, and they lose Game 5. And everybody's like, wow, now they got to go win both back at home where they didn't win either of the first two. So a little bit of the doubt started to creep back in. Then they win Game 6. And I think everybody had the belief that they were going to do it in Game 7. There was no quit, no stop in this team. And then they get down 3-1 in Game 7. And I don't think anybody in the world expected a George Springer 3-run shot to save that game. We were talking about where that lands on the all-time home run list. And don't get me wrong, I don't think anything will ever surpass Joe Carter.
No. Yeah.
But I would assume at this point people have this George Springer home run over the Jose Bautista home run. And for me, that was everything growing up. ALCS, Game 7, hard to argue that that's the bigger moment.
Yeah, right when you said that, I was, you know, it's awesome. The Blue Jays do have some really historic home runs, certainly with the Joe Carter home run, the Joey Bats, you know, bat toss. And, of course, I think George Springer definitely surpassed that, obviously put him in a World Series. And, you know, just listening to you talk, and I was kind of in the same boat in terms of, you know, following the Yankees series where they're just scoring a whole bunch of runs. You just never know how everything or if anything is going to carry over, that is, from one series to the next. So that kind of brings me to, you know, this World Series matchup. When it comes to carryover, the thing that Toronto has probably had, you know, not just this, you know, postseason, but all season long, is the fact that they put the ball in play. And so I think the fact, you know, maybe more so than other teams in terms of carrying over from one offensive series to the next, they probably have a better shot than most.
Yeah, I 100% agree. That's a nail on the head, actually. This team's ability to just get the ball in play, right? Errors happen. Baseball's a weird sport. If you just put the ball in play, good things usually happen. And here's a little weird statistic for you. Take it with a grain of salt, but I found it at least interesting. There has been four times in all of baseball and all of the World Series that one team has come off a Game 7 into the World Series and the other team has come off of a sweep. Mm-hmm. And all four times, the team that was in the Game 7 ended up winning the World Series. So, yeah, probably a mean-nothing stat, but interesting at least.
Yeah, no doubt. I did hear that stat recently as well. So I guess, you know, Toronto coming in hot, the Dodgers having all that time off after, you know, the sweep of the Brewers. I guess, how do you break this series down, maybe outside of that, getting into the numbers a little bit? What do you think is important for Toronto in this series?
So, for me, the biggest question has to be Bo Bichette's return. How does that affect the lineup? Where does this move, guys? Who plays the outfield? Because I can't imagine Bo Bichette comes back in as a position player. He's probably just going to be a DH. So then does that move George Springer to the outfield? How does that affect him? The other thing is the Max Scherzer, that Game 4 start. Max Scherzer does not pitch well against lefties, and this is a Dodgers team that mashes lefties. They're, besides really Max Muncy, who's really not great against lefties, everybody else, their splits are good enough where it doesn't matter if it's a lefty or righty, realistically. So in my head, now do they switch that game to maybe a Chris Bassett start? Maybe is it an Eric Lauer sort of bullpen day instead? I don't know what the right answer is, but I don't know how I feel about Max Scherzer going in there. For the rest of the starting pitching, yeah, it's going to be a duel. To see how Trey Savage pitches game one, I think it's going to be a start to watch for him, right? This young kid in his seventh ever MLB start gets game one in the World Series. So it's pretty much for the Blue Jays, do what they've been doing at the plate, be hard to get out, and for the pitching side of things, I think it's for certain guys, don't let them see three times through the lineup. You don't want Shohei Ohtani and Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts to all see these starting pitchers three straight times. I think that's just a recipe for disaster. So use the bullpen effectively, and hopefully you have success there.
Yeah. Bo Bichette, what are his prospects? It sounds like he's going to play, huh?
Yeah, I would assume it's in a DH role. The hitting looks pretty good. The running still looks a little bit wonky. And when you have a guy like Andrés Giménez, Addison Barger, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, Ernie Clement, you have guys that can play very solid defense in this infield. So I don't think there's a reason, besides having to push George Springer to the outfield, to rush Bo Bichette back to the infield.
All right. Well, before I let you go here, Braden, you know, following the playoffs as I do, I love baseball no matter what's going on, and you know, kind of lost a little bit of interest on the National League side of things because you know, what we thought before the season about the Dodgers being this monster, maybe one of the best teams of all time. Well, it started to play out that way in the postseason. Loved the AL playoffs, and now I do have a little bit of hope here, and I think I'm probably not alone when it comes to, you know, the United States of America. Has Toronto ever been America's team more so than they will be in this World Series?
I would say outside of Seattle and New York, I think yeah. There's going to be a lot of Blue Jays fans out there. Mm-hmm. I don't, the Dodgers get painted in this bad light. because they spend a lot of money, they bring in who they want, they can do whatever, they're looking to be back-to-back. And I think what's lost in all of this, there's two things. One, I don't think this is a salary cap issue as much as a salary floor issue. Mm-hmm. I think if other teams were to pay their players, this wouldn't be an issue. But the Dodgers take advantage of that. They're willing to pay guys. And that sucks. The other thing is I don't think anybody wants to see the Dodgers win this one back-to-back, which goes into what could be a three-peat next year into a lockout season.
Yeah.
I think that ending for a what's going to be a missed season in 2027 is going to be just horrific for fans. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think if the Blue Jays can stop this little bit of a run, I think that helps Blue Jays or MLB fans everywhere.
Yeah, before I let you go, Braden, that was a good point. And number two, do you have a prediction, or are you too superstitious?
No. You know what? I'm not a jinx guy. I've never been that way. I think you got to throw out a prediction. Otherwise, what are we doing here? So I'm rolling with the boys, but I don't know. I've been really debating. I've been on the betting sites lately looking at, what are the odds for Blue Jays in 7, Blue Jays in 6. And it seems like if the Blue Jays are going to win, they have them pegged as a Game 7 winner. I'm going Blue Jays in 6. That's where I'm landing. And that has a little bit to do with the better betting odds, so I'll take that too.
Braden Owosko again, Locked On Blue Jays, Toronto and L.A., Dodgers, Blue Jays, Game 1, World Series, Friday night. Braden, thanks a lot for the time. Really appreciate it, and enjoy the series, all right?
Yeah, thanks. Always appreciate you having me on.